Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcastrophy, episode 11. I am Dick, and I'm here to talk to you guys, like usual. So I've had a lot of fun this weekend. It was my birthday weekend. To start it off, Wednesday, I found out my great grandmother passed away. May she rest easy. Because of that, I managed to get a couple days off of work. And so I got caught up on a lot of stuff. Got caught up on all my CW shows. Thursday night, I went and saw Jeff Daniels, which was a really fun show. To take that story back a little bit, a couple months ago, I found out that he had actually played in my hometown of Delphi about 2 years ago. And to a sold-out crowd at the Delphi Opera House. And my grandmother, my grandma Tina, of the Tyner clan, she cooked for the event. And the Jeff Daniels group of people, so Jeff Daniels, his son's band, and whoever else was there with them, they loved her food. They loved her cooking. They said they didn't really get that kind of food on tour, so it was really nice. And they actually offered a spot on their tour for her to keep coming along and cooking for them. She declined, however, which I thought she was crazy for, but at the same time, I understand completely. So fast forward a little bit, I guess the Delphi Opera House contacted Jeff Daniels people again, said, hey, we want you to come back. And their only requirement was that my grandma cooked for him again. So of course she would cook for him again. So she asked me, she's like, hey, how would you like a ticket for Jeff Daniels? I'm like, grandma, of course I'd love a ticket. So of course I go, and she gets me a second row ticket. That's for my birthday. And it was great. It was a great show. It was a great experience because it allowed me, I go to a lot of metal shows. I go to a lot of rock shows. I don't really get this kind of show. It was kind of like a bluegrass, folksy kind of thing. And with Jeff Daniels, star of Dumb and Dumber, Dumb and Dumber 2, my favorite Martian, The Martian, Looper, a bunch of other movies. He tends to gravitate more towards comedy, and he's a very funny guy. There was hardly any comedy in this show. You know, I expected like a little stand-up, a little bit of music and stand-up, but no, it was mostly music. And he opened up with a song about his wife reading 50 Shades of Grey and then wanting to put the moves on him. And it was quite funny. It's quite humorous. But out of his entire two-hour set, which was mostly him and his son performing, along with his son's band and his son's wife. And the content was mostly serious, mostly very deep, and it just astounded me how long he's been doing music. It astounded me because, like, he would introduce a song, be like, yeah, I wrote this song back in the day, like doing this and this. So I wrote this back in 1978, and I'm like, holy shit, you've been doing this for that long? Which it just blew my mind. He told a story about how the first time he met Ryan Reynolds on a set of some movie, he said it was when he met Ryan Reynolds before he was Ryan Reynolds, and he was passing him in a hallway. And they did the whole, the typical, like, oh, we got to go around each other, but which way you going, which way am I going type shuffle. And then finally, after doing that for a couple seconds, Ryan Reynolds apparently told him, so should we just take off our pants and relax? So that's what the song was called, Take Off Your Pants and Relax. And no, it was a really fun time. During the intermission, I found my grandmother and she told me, hey, meet me down in the kitchen. This is how you get there. And I'd like to introduce you to Jeff Daniels. So after the show, I go down there, I wait, talk to my grandmother and a couple other people I met, or not that I met, but I knew from being in Delphi. Saw a lot of familiar faces, like a lot of teachers. Saw my fourth and fifth grade teachers, Mr. and Mrs. Beach. And so that was fun to run into them and, like, you know, talk to them for a brief second, you know, catch up. Neither of them recognized me as I was not a bearded fellow in fifth and fourth grade. didn't have all these tattoos and all this muscle, all them gains. I was a scrawny little fuck back then. But yeah, so I waited. We waited, and his daughter-in-law came down. I saw his son come in, the bass player, all of them came in. And then they're like, hey, we got to go out. We got to go. It's we're heading home, and we're just ready to be home. So that was a bummer. Next thing I know, here comes Jeff Daniels, walks down the hall and right past the room. I was like, oh. Well, there he goes. And before anyone could really say anything or comprehend what just happened besides me going, oh, he just peeps his head in the room. He goes, thanks, guys. Walks out. So that was fun. But yeah, so that was the Jeff Daniels experience for me. It was a really great show. I really loved it. The rest of the weekend I just caught up with family, got drunk with my family. It was always fun. And then Saturday I went and saw Thor Ragnarok. Excellent show. I'm sure the Journey into Comics guys will talk about that at some point. Other than that, Saturday or Sunday for my birthday, I had the pleasure of, you know, burying my grandmother, which never fun, but it is what it is. But let's turn this around and bring it back up. Today, I am joined by two guests. I am joined by Mr. Scott Collins.
What's going on?
How are you today, Scott?
Doing just peachy.
Now, Scott, I've wanted to have you on this podcast since day one.
This is true.
You were slated to be one of my first guests, along with my podcasting brethren, Mr. Brandon Stone of Journey into Comics and Game Addicts.
Mm-hmm.
But time after time, scheduling conflicts happen. You know, like it's
things go missing.
Yeah, shit's been difficult to get you on, but here we are, finally.
We finally made it.
Scott, I've known you basically my entire lives.
My
entire life, yeah. Like, we went to school together, we went to elementary school together, high school together. We
never really crossed too many paths.
No, we didn't. It wasn't until, I think, right before my senior year, you had already graduated, and it wasn't until then that finally, like, our paths started to cross, aside from...
Kind of started recognizing one another.
Yeah, and it was because I went to my very first concert, which was the 2008 Mayhem Festival. And,
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
And so, like, I went down there with Wes Everett, your sister Amanda, Corey... Just
the crew.
The crew.
Shit, that was your first concert?
That was my first concert.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, so
that's a solid first.
Ever since then, like, we have been concert buddies.
Yep.
We've gone to basically all of our concerts together. Save for, like, I don't know how many I've fucking been to at this point, but I'd say like a rough 10 maybe I haven't been with you. But
a couple you went with me instead.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, so like we went to college together. We had a few classes. Yeah. That's where our friendship
Ivy
really
Tech
blossomed.
Community College, Lafayette, Indiana.
Oh yeah, that's where our friendship truly blossomed, because we had two classes back to back together. Those classes separated by like an hour or so.
An hour long or something ridiculous.
Where we would just chill and hang out with each other, and we after classes, we would go eat some Luca pizza at the mall, or go
probably
back to...
contributed to some of my obesity, but
somehow did not contribute to mine. I don't get it.
It was metabolism,
bro.
at the time, I did not work out. The crazy thing was I still worked at Monocle's too, so I was eating pizza.
It was a straight carbohydrate diet.
Oh yeah, but it was just good genes and super amazing metabolism at the time.
Yeah,
at the time
we were not blessed with such metabolism.
No, I mean my metabolism is all right. But
we would play Guitar Hero together. We would jam on guitars together. You were a very big part of my journey into guitars.
I think we both influenced each other in one way or another.
I mean,
honestly.
despite never really taking it anywhere and never getting
never really amounting to anything than
pseudo
palm muting masters.
Palm muting masters, yes. So like we've shared so many good times together. We were roommates for a good 4 years. No, it wasn't
Why
4 years. It was 3 years.
Sorry, I just noticed the mail truck delivering mail at 6:10 at night.
Oh, jeez.
Pure darkness.
I wonder if it's because I didn't have mail when I left, so I wonder if it's there too.
Snapchat's down, the rest of the world goes.
You didn't get
it.
Caught
yeah,
up
know,
with
right?
daylight savings time yet.
Oh, true. Fucking Indiana, man.
Oh.
Yeah, we were roommates for 3 years. So from 2000...
It was probably 2010?
2011.
2011 to approximately 2013, 2014-ish?
2014, yeah. So...
Started off in the old 823 at Pheasant Run.
Uh-huh. Moving over to 1905
Pheasant Run Drive.
Where we had a lot of fun times there.
A lot of fun, mixed emotions.
Yes.
Some
we're not
possible
gonna get
PTSD.
Into. Oh, yes. Roommates, man. Roommates.
But lots of times. Lots of good times.
You introduced me to one of my favorite bands of all time, which is Parkway Drive.
I think that's what we did in general, though. I feel like I introduced Parkway Drive to you actually in Ivy Tech.
Yeah, you did.
I was like, because I remember sitting, we were all, because that's what we would do in our break. It was we would sit there on the just seats or whatever they had there on the second level of Ivy Tech in the main lobby.
Yeah.
And we would just literally sit there on our laptops and just go through YouTube or whatever and just browse through music. And I just happened across Parkway Drive and I was like, oh my God.
Well, I remember like you introduced them to me while we were riding along in the Monte.
Oh yeah.
The old
Monte Carlo that you used to have.
Rest
and
in peace that
we
one.
You were jamming it.
I would love to have that car back right about now.
I told you not to get rid of it.
Fucking 20,000 miles, not a damn issue.
Yep.
You had what's the name of the album? You had the Killing with a Smile album in your car, and you were jamming that, and I heard one of two songs, and it was either Pandora or Romance is Dead by Parkway Drive, and I think it was either anything in Pandora or the end of Romance is Dead with that slamming riff, and I was hooked, but not hooked enough. To where
you refuted them initially.
Yeah,
you're like, oh yeah, these guys are pretty solid. Like I can see myself getting into them, and you kind of put it on the back burner for a little bit. And I was like, I continued to like push. I'm like, you seriously need to keep listening to these like this band. Like you need to do this.
It wasn't until like well. Into maybe okay no it was about so around 2010 I found Deep Blue, their third album, and I got really into that album,
very much into it.
And then at some point in 2012 I'm still into them, I'm still very into them. And then they came out with Atlas. That's when I was like, fuck yeah. Well, no, at that point I was already like, fuck yeah, but that Atlas really changed. Changed the game for me.
Finally, you're just like,
And then shortly after that, I got into Horizons, their second album.
Went a little backwards.
I fell in love with the song Carrion. That was my first vocal cover that I did. and I was obsessed with that song for the longest time.
Very much so.
Yeah, so that's really all I got for you, Scott.
I mean, it's quite the colorful history.
Well, yeah. Honestly, that's a good.
That's all I got.
That's
to say
a good
about
background.
You.
A little.
That's all I have to say about you. You're done with this podcast today.
I appreciate this. This is what I've been waiting so long to be a part of. Yeah. It was my 15 minutes of fame.
Honestly, it's at about the 15 minute mark.
Boom.
Nailed it.
I'm kidding. We are going to talk much, much more.
We got more.
But before we do that, I have to introduce your sister, Miss Amanda Collins.
What's up, guys?
How are you doing today?
We're doing okay.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Now, Amanda, you've been along with me for my concert journey as well.
Yep.
A lot of my metal journey. We went to the first Mayhem Festival together, a couple Mayhems together.
About that, I would love to share the story of that first Mayhem that we all went together. We had, what, the convoy of four cars?
Yes.
I think
in
there
that
was
convoy.
Like three or four of us, yeah.
And I'm driving... Bobby's friends were driving in a car, mm-hmm. and then she had a car, and then there was you and Wes Everett,
yes.
in the truck, that,
yes.
like, tan truck. And I had known you because you're my brother's friend. I don't think you guys had been roommates at that point
no,
yet.
No, I was still in high school.
Yeah,
I was
so
still in high school.
I was aware of your presence, and I knew Wes, and I was like, oh, cool, they're going to go with us. That's awesome. And so we go to this show, and it's a blast, and then I get kicked out during Disturbed. Because the habitual sod fights,
yeah.
at the Clip Center back then.
It was Verizon back
then. Yeah, back then,
yeah,
the Verizon Center.
Verizon Center.
And it's now something else now. It's gotten its name changed again.
We've discussed this on Podcaster before. I still don't remember it.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to remember it because it's even longer. It's
yeah,
a longer
it is. It's
name,
like a four-word name now.
And no one cares about it.
Yeah, no, everybody still refers to it as like the Verizon Center or the Clip Center.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like...
I like Clip.
It's always going to be Clip. So,
so yeah, we're at this concert and I get kicked out for participating in the habitual sod fight. I had a piece of grass that had been ripped up from the lawn land on me or near me. And so I picked it up
Pretty
and
sure
continued to chuck it
head.
Into the crowd.
Uh-huh.
And then the ogre, as we deemed him, shows
ogre.
Up.
I haven't seen him in forever.
Me neither. Maybe he moved on. He's probably head of security now or something. But
booth.
He shows up and... puts his arm on the back, the small of my back, and just starts to escort me out. And I am so naive and innocent at that point in time that I'm just like going with it. I don't know what's going on. I leave all of my stuff next to you guys, including phone and wallet and all that jazz. And I get escorted over to the side of the venue where someone proceeds to start taking my name and information. And again, me being the naive person, I'm like giving them my legit information, not realizing that they could potentially give me a fine or something for destruction of the property. When I think it was the owner came out and was just like, how are these people participating in the sod fight or whatever? And someone was talking and he just started yelling, get them all out, get them all out. And so the woman that was writing my information down, she like stopped midway through my last name. She just like shuffled me along and we got thrown into a golf cart and escorted outside the gates. And so I spent the remainder of Disturbed set and Slipknot set crying next to my car and wondering what the fuck just happened.
Was that not also the Mayhem that Dragon Force was
yeah,
on?
Yeah, that was.
Yep. Because you guys ran in.
Because I remember you were like by the gate.
Yeah, I eventually, like they told me not to leave my car, but eventually I decided to become I think that was maybe the start of my rebellion of sticking it to the man. Because I decided to go back to the gate and there was this little woman up at the gate. And I said that I had left because the smoke had got to my asthma and triggered me. And so I wanted to go back in now to catch the end of the show. And I almost got back in. You could see the hesitation in her eyes. And then she was like, no, 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 I'm not going to let you back in. So I just waited next to the gate until you guys came out.
Well, Corey and I came up. We came out to you just because at that current moment in time as well, we had just literally chased down Herman Lee
mm-hmm.
from Dragon Force.
And I was like reminding you guys to get the guitar signed, our guitar
plate
from Guitar Hero.
Because we all remember a Guitar Hero 3, I believe it was,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, that had the Gibson Les Paul guitars that had mm-hmm. the removable plates on them.
Yep.
And
we took that to get
that
signed
by Black Tide initially, which we succeeded in that.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got kicked out, and then Corey and I at that time did not really care about Slipknot.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we were very much not Slipknot fans whatsoever, and we were
just
simply over in the food court just eating pizza, a very expensive pizza, mind you. We're just proceeding to eat our food, and I happened to look over and saw Herman Lee and Sam from Dragon Force, the two guitarists, just kind of just meandering by with four women, mind you, arm in arm, and both of their arms. And I simply just slapped Corey as he's just, like, eating his pizza. And I'm like, holy shit, that's Herman Lee. And he, like, looks over and he, like, fucking just drops his pizza. And it's like, holy shit, that's Herman Lee. And we're just like, what are we doing? So we proceeded to throw our pizza away, $7 a slice, mind you, and go chase down Herman Lee, which was awkward because that was also the first time that I was groped by a man.
Wasn't it Sam?
Yeah, Sam. Sam the guitarist was very much intoxicated and decided to grope my right boob. And
he called you a hefty lad, didn't he?
He called me a big boy.
Oh.
Called me a big boy because I yelled at him to turn around. They turned around. We ended up talking and everything like that. Yeah, I just kind of like, I looked at Corey and I'm like, what am I supposed to say? And he's like, hell if I know. If you know Corey, he's not the person to make a scene. So so I just simply started yelling like, hey, Herman. Like, and he just turns around and like, it's dark out, so I don't know if he really knew who was yelling at him, but
I probably would have done the same thing, like, hey!
Yeah, yelled at him and got him to come over, and they ended up, like, signing, like, all of our, like, our Guitar Hero plate and my shirt and everything, which led to the groping, because I had them sign my Dragon Force shirt, and Sam...
You still have that shirt?
I still have that shirt.
Nice.
And Sam ended up signing the shirt, and decided to get a little squeeze of the old right pack, and... called me big boy, and they went on their way to the tour bus, and then
we ran into Dave too.
Yeah,
the drummer.
We crossed Dave, who's probably nothing but 5'2", very very small man, but drumming, man, I mean, that guy, give Dragon Force all the flack that they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very much repetitive, very much unoriginal, I feel like,
yeah,
when it comes to,
yeah,
like, their music.
Yeah.
But you know, we talk about, like, Dave Lombardo from Slayer, you know, and, like, his repetitive, you know, drum beats and everything. But, like, that man's got the endurance of, I mean, you know.
We've got great videos of you pseudo-drumming to Slayer.
Yeah. That's, like, that's Dave McIntosh.
Yep.
And so, got his signature, too. But then we met you at the gate because,
yeah,
we saw you at the gate. And we were like, oh, my God, look.
Yeah,
look,
you're telling me about all these great times you've had.
Yeah, like,
now.
I just met Herman Lee, Sam, and Dave McIntosh, and
mm-hmm.
you're bawling your eyes out because you had just got kicked out for literally throwing a 10-ounce piece of sod. So
yep. I guess I earned my metal wings that day. Like, getting
something.
Kicked out of a Slipknot show.
Let's fast forward a little bit to after the show.
Yes! It gets better, guys.
I don't know about that.
We all...
What did we do? Okay, so Wes and I, we take off and we go get some Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
And
our crew got split up.
Yeah. And so we got Wendy's. I think we got Wendy's. I can't remember what we did.
I think we were talking about getting Wendy's.
Yeah.
And then Bobby got lost.
Well, Wes and I somehow...
Damn it, Bobby.
We somehow passed you guys as you were getting pulled over.
Yeah, yeah. What had happened with that?
And then Wes and I, we just proceeded to... This
circle.
This is my perspective. Okay. We'll get to you guys in a second. So we circled around and we probably passed you guys like 8 times.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right. Well,
would not be
and
surprised.
And Wes is probably like, I bet this cop's like, why does this car keep circling? Like, what? Am I going to get
the rest are next.
Are we about to get mowed down over here or some shit? But okay. So proceed. Let's hear this.
We got split up. And mm-hmm. I was trying to keep all of the cars together because this was back when we didn't have GPS on our phone.
Yeah.
And we only knew one person was the lead. They knew they had the maps. They knew how to get there and they led and then mm-hmm. everyone else followed. And so we got split. And so I went through the stoplight really slow. It was changing to red. And so I got through it, but you guys got left behind at the light.
Yeah, I think so.
And so I slowed down and pulled over to the side of the road. And then the cop just like pulled up right behind me. I don't even know where the cop came from. And he flipped on his lights. And I was like, what did I do? And he comes over and it became clear to me after we went on our way, what he was doing is that he was profiling and trying to catch someone who had been in underage drinking at the concert that had just been let out. Because he proceeds to ask if we've been drinking. And at that time, none of us had even tried alcohol at that point. So I was thinking,
very much straight edge.
You were like pulling over the wrong car.
Like, I was 17. You were 18.
Gary was the only one that was 18, I think, at that time.
Yeah, because you, Gary, and Corey are all the same age, if I remember right. And it was us four in the car. I was the baby of that car.
Yep. He proceeded to breathalyze Corey.
Because you and Corey in the front.
Well, when we passed by, he was doing a field sobriety test on Corey.
Poor Corey.
Once again, if you knew Corey, he's probably shitting his pants at that time.
But yeah, so I just remember you and Wes driving around in the truck.
I just remember all like the
20 minutes or so.
We were just like kidding about it like for a while. And then I remember I had like something in between my legs.
Your Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I had my Mountain Dew or something like that, like in between my legs, and he like signed the flashlight.
Because I had my Saturn at that point, and it was just really
like,
tiny.
Yeah, he was like signing like the like shining the flashlight like into the back seat, like at Gary and I, and he like saw the thing in between my legs, and he's like, "What do you got there?" And you know, obviously at the time, like joking around, I was like, "Hoo hoo, my dick," but like, but I obviously wasn't going to pull out to pull that out, and. And I was like, it's
just showed
Mountain
him
Dew.
It's Mountain Dew. There's no vodka in it either.
I think we all got breathalyzed, if I remember correctly.
No, it was just Corey.
It was just Yeah, because we were laughing because Corey's like, oh, it's just out of everybody in the fucking car, I'm the one who gets stuck with it.
Blew a 0.0.
Yep, and we were on our way.
And the cop's like,
well, okay. Shit, this backfired.
And then they told me that my license plate light was out, so we
don't
proceeded
that one bit.
To go home.
I can't remember. So we finally met up in a parking lot. We were still in our cars talking to each other.
I was trying to find Bobby.
And I can't remember if Wes and I had already gotten food or what.
We probably might have while we
I
were pulled
so.
Over.
Because I remember I had a Baconator that night. And then... Wes said something to Corey. Corey was in the passenger seat. And
Corey always got front passenger seat.
Yep.
That was, and Wes says, yeah, you look like you like bacon. So keep in mind, this is nearly 10 years ago.
Everything was humorous.
This is 9 years ago. Memory's a little fuzzy in some places. But he said that to Corey. Corey then threw a monster can at Wes's truck. And
I remember that.
Let's describe Wes at the time. At the time, Wes was a very large man.
Yeah.
My age. He was my age. He graduated 2009 with me.
And played football.
He is a Delphi championship wrestler.
Yeah.
I don't think he played football.
No, I'm pretty sure he played football.
Maybe at one point.
Maybe in middle school.
But, I mean, he was very much so into wrestling.
Yeah, he was mostly wrestling. Like
a very well-built man.
Very tall, very well-built, very into black metal, death metal.
Still is.
All of that shit.
Heavy as shit.
He's the guy that introduced me to a lot of stuff. And he is the only person to this day that I've seen take down the ogre. He took down the ogre. He took down the ogre in a pit.
Oh, I wish I could have seen that.
Made a straight beeline for him.
The ogre was... No, I think he used someone else as a weapon. He used an equally large person as a throwing device. he threw this other person into the ogre and knocked and toppled the ogre.
Justice was served that day.
The ogre
like
is maybe
the Colossus.
Yeah, the ogre's taller than Wes, that's for sure. Maybe equal size, but taller.
Just hear the sound of
but and Wes goes, "Hey, that's my dad's truck." And Corey's like, "Oh shit."
Instantly retreats.
Yeah, and Wes, of course, was not serious whatsoever. He's the giantest teddy bear, despite listening to all this fucking church burning music and shit.
Yeah, that's how it usually goes.
Yeah,
sounds similar to me, except the church burning.
So that
music.
Was Mayhem.
Yes, that was our first Mayhem festival. Oh,
miss
good
those
times.
Shows.
Good times.
We have another show coming up this Sunday.
Yes, we do. In the wake of an album dropping.
Woo!
Yes.
Trivium just released The Sin and the Sentence, the follow-up to Silence in the Snow.
Another solid album.
And yes, a solid album, a very different album from Silence in the Snow was the first record to feature only clean vocals.
Yep.
Yet still remained just as fucking heavy.
Yep.
The music.
Lack of Draymond, though, was kind of disappointing.
Oh, I fucking hate Vengeance Falls. Vengeance Falls. I was so looking forward to that album.
Because, I was kind of let down by that one, too.
Yeah, so I found out when I found out that David Draymond would be producing the album, I was like, okay, this is pretty fucking exciting because I love Disturbed.
Oh, wow.
But, and I read interviews and how David Draymond helped Matt Heffey with all of his like vocal melodies and structuring the melodies and all that shit. What I didn't know was that basically David Draymond recorded all the parts himself and then said, hey, Matt, copy exactly what I did. I don't know if that's what happened, but that's what it fucking sounds like.
Use your guitar work, but put my vocals in there.
Yeah, the music on Vengeance Falls was absolutely outstanding.
Agreed.
But the vocals. It was David Draymond. Matt Draymond.
I know that In Waves is like their title track off of that album.
No, it's not.
That's off of In Waves.
Oh, crap.
In
really?
Waves is the title track off of In Waves.
No. Wait. So what's off of Vengeance Falls then?
Strive. Villainy Thrives. Which those are
Brave the Storm.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I feel like In Waves kind of belongs on that album then. Because it's literally like the same four lyrics.
Unpopular opinion. Get out of here.
Boo. Proceed.
I mean, I don't know. In Waves, I enjoyed, but...
I loved In Waves.
I enjoyed In Waves, but I feel like the first... I don't know. To me, personally, like, I enjoyed, like, the first half, and then the back half just kind of...
I just love watching just Heavy Heffy use all of the same antics every time they sing In Waves.
Oh, yeah.
Will probably see on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. We're going to.
I love that In Waves album, because it's the first album that came out. I tend to gravitate towards... the first album that comes out while I'm a fan of them. So, I mean, I had already been a fan, like, by listening to The Crusade and Shogun at that point. Shogun.
That's very true, because I'm, like, a big fan of Shogun, and that was the first album that I heard by them.
I love Shogun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a person that likes to... everybody's like, what's your favorite album? I was like, well, I can tell you... I can split it up. I can tell you what my favorite album is, but I can also tell you what their best album is, and then sometimes they're not always the same.
Right.
I will tell you, Shogun is their best album.
Preach.
With Ascendancy as a close second.
Yes, but my favorite album. Well,
my opinion.
At the time, my favorite album was In Waves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, however,
it is
The Sin and the Sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It has taken the lead, and it might even take the lead for best album.
Mm. I'm feeling very similar. I mean, I told Amanda, like, I'm like, you need to, like, give this out. Like,
you know what Scott did
to
you with Parkway Drive? It's what he's doing with me and Trivium and It's in the Sentence right now.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's what I did with you and Trivium in general, too.
Yeah, no, I was going to bring that up. Like, he introduced Parkway Drive to you like he introduced Trivium to me. So I've always associated them.
We'd be, like, driving to, like, or riding with Mom and Dad to lunch and...
Yep.
Or going out somewhere, and we would always have our MP3 players. We didn't have iPods back then because we were very much against Apple at that time.
All right, Daniel.
Now we have iPhones and iPads.
Yeah, then now it's pretty much strictly. I mean, Amanda's not so much. I mean, she has an iPod, but
I have my original iPod still. Thank you.
And we would always listen to our music, and I would just remember we'd always have our headbuds in, and we'd be like, listen to this, you know, like pass it and just share it alone. And
that is the fiasco that I'm in right now, because I still have my original iPod. It no longer syncs new music, and so the last album that I have by like any band is like two albums ago, and I'm really struggling with this because I don't want to buy CDs. I can't bring myself to do that.
That's not such a bad thing.
What?
Came out with a new song recently, Trouble or whatever.
I don't really pay too much attention to Five Finger Death Punch anymore.
I don't either. It just came up on my feed.
Anything after American Capitalist, I just pretty much just
Wrong Side of Heaven, part
okay,
one.
Wrong side
I'll give
of
it
heaven,
part one.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Part
grew
two
on me.
Part two was okay. It had some songs that I loved, and the rest was eh. However,
got your six.
Moving forward to Got Your Six. That album was horrendous.
Would you compare it to
American Capitalist? Yes, because I hated American Capitalist after a time.
Fair. But would you compare it to Temper Temper?
Oh God.
Oh no.
As like we don't speak like, of that
we
album.
We don't speak of that. She's right.
But I'm just saying, like, because, like, you know, we had like Bullet
right
and
the
we're...
sirens right from the wall. Brian! Me and Nick Maxon made fun of that album so much. Made fun of that song so much. Along with Tears Don't Fall Part 2. What the fuck, Bullet? I'm so glad they came out of that and released Venom, because Venom is amazing.
They're recording a new album starting this month.
Awesome. Hopefully they stay in the right direction.
Yeah,
hopefully
you guys know which way you need to go.
Positive feedback they need, and they're like, all right, this is the sound that we need to just keep.
There we go. Yeah. But I think with Five Finger Death Punch, which I'm very over that band.
Me too.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's just because I've become jaded on them in general. Like I'm the same way with Disturbed at this moment. Until they release a new CD, of course, then I'll be obsessed with
Immortalized
them.
Immortalized was okay.
I liked it a lot. I liked it better than Asylum.
Hmm.
But
I'd put them on like a level like similar plane for me.
Well, it just sounded so different from the rest of their work.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
I know. For Disturbed.
For
yeah.
them to ever sound anything different.
For me, yeah. for me, that's a feat. It was the best album since Indestructible, which Indestructible is probably my favorite. No, Indestructible is probably their best. Indestructible is their best, while so Believe is my favorite.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And this, I am saying all of this, completely excluding The Sickness. It's on its own level.
I feel like if you say, you know, my favorite album is The Sickness.
It's like, no fucking shit, it's your favorite.
But it's like, you can't mention their newest albums, you're a bandwagoner.
Yeah, exactly. But back to Five Finger Death Punch. I don't know if it's just because I'm jaded on them from listening to them so much in the past, or if it's because their music's gotten shittier and shittier. But
some damn
maybe
good
it's because
live
their
shows,
mental
though.
Health is getting shittier and shittier.
Yeah. I mean, Ivan,
take a break.
I'm very over the antics with Ivan.
Uh-huh.
Whatever's going on, whether it be real or just whatever.
The PR stunt.
Several years ago, Five Finger Death Punch still put hella shows on, though.
Oh, yeah. I've always enjoyed their live show. Yep. Especially in like a smaller venue setting.
Small venues.
The bleeding at the first Mayhem was brutal.
Oh, yeah. White Knuckles.
The fist was yes. just...
White Knuckles when they had the Wall of Death.
Good
yeah,
stuff.
And all that fucking dust popping up.
Yeah.
My first crowd surfing experience was with Five Finger Death Punch
oh, nice.
At the first Mayhem Festival.
Mine was Take This
also,
Life
was
by
that
In
not
Flames.
When Wes just literally just grabbed you and pretty much thrusted
no,
you.
No, it was Corey Cook and Ransom Cornwall.
Okay, two other fairly big guys.
They going back to Mayhem 1. Okay, so there's two stories here involving both of them. So the crowd surfing thing, they just looked at each other and said, hey, you're going to crowd surf. I'm like, no, I'm not. And they just picked me up and did it. And at the time, there was a huge pit going on during Five Finger Death Punch, of course.
Surprise.
And it was just nothing but dust. And I was very,
death.
I was very inexperienced with moshing. Like, I had never done it. I was scared to fucking death of it. I weighed like 112 pounds.
Sopping wet.
It just wasn't a good idea for me. So, of course, the crowd is taking me directly towards this pit, and I land in the pit. And I am just like...
This is where it ends.
I'm like, this is where it ends. And you know that... Have you guys seen the Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, the third one?
I fell asleep during that one.
You know at the end where... The one captain from the East India Trading Company is like completely defeated, and like his ship's blowing up around him, and he's just walking down the ship, and it's a really cool piece of cinema, because like everything is like blowing up in slow motion. He's just walking, it's just like this completely dead face on, and
he dead inside.
Like he's completely dead inside. He knows he's defeated, and he's just walking, and then next thing you know, the ship just blows up, because like he's getting bombarded by the Black Pearl and whatever the fucking other ship is that Davy Jones was.
Yeah.
Is that what you felt like in the middle of the pit?
That's exactly what I felt like, and I did that exact walk back to the crowd, because I was in the middle of the pit and I just walked straight out.
Avoid eye contact.
I just walked. I was like,
don't make any sudden
movements. So fucking, the fear had deadened me inside. But moving on. So that was my first crowd surf. The next story involves my... So we're walking throughout like the in-between stage. It's not in-between stages, but it's like the...
The merch booth,
the merches, all that shit.
Yeah, they had a bunch of stuff at Mayhem. Like,
yeah, and yeah. So we're walking, and there's a bunch of guys on a huge balcony. It's like a VIP like bar area, and they're like, "Show us your titties!" So of course, like chicks start doing it, and they just start flashing, like crazy.
No fucks given.
Yeah, like so, like oh my god. So I couldn't see nothing because the crowd was starting to get thick because all these chicks were. Showing their tits.
Yeah, I've never been compelled to do that. Never.
But I did it once.
I do it all the time.
You flashed the girl that was flashing and said yeah, mine were bigger.
Because she was on like the dude's shoulders yeah. And like she was like
they were literally mosquito bites. Top,
like for the band or whatever on stage, and she was like twisting around, like like look at them. And so
there was nothing there. There was like nothing even there. As a female, like, I was
to get
embarrassed.
Literally the off mosquito spray just to get those things away. Like,
yeah.
So I lifted up my shirt and yelled, "Mine are bigger!" And guys were like, "Yeah!"
So I couldn't see. I could barely see. So Corey and Ransom do? They are my heroes. They picked me up and put. They literally took turns carrying me on their shoulders.
What a bro.
Because they're tall people.
They're big.
They're tall yeah. people. So like they just took turns like holding me on their shoulders because I was such a small fucking dude then. And so I got to see like this went on for a good half hour, 45 minutes.
I should believe that.
Of just chicks flashing. And I was like in heaven. I was like, this is
what heaven
this
is like.
This is the best concert ever. And I've never experienced... I haven't seen chicks flash.
Shoot, I was going to say, that probably
time.
Set your standards because pretty high for a concert.
It really did.
It's because feminism took over.
I know. Fucking millennials.
Ruining everything.
Even though we're basically diet millennials because we were born
diet millennial.
I mean, the millennials, apparently they start at like 85, 87, somewhere around there.
Yo, right here.
No, it's like yeah. Nails matter right on the head.
And so, I mean, I was born in 90, you're 89. So like we're still at the very beginning and we still know shit about shit in terms of like, you know, being a good human being
and not crying about everything
and you know just knowing.
I don't associate myself with millennials. I feel like I do not fall
into
that
either.
Category.
I
Thank
don't
you.
Either despite
Thank you.
Being one but so yeah
damn millennials you know, how old are you 26
You know what my next crowd surfing experience was?
Trying to go into the old memory bank here. Was it not all the way until Parkway Drive?
Yes.
Oh, Scott, you know so much.
It wasn't until last year, 2016.
Because that's like when you really started getting involved in the mosh pits and everything, I feel like.
Honestly, yeah, I didn't mosh at that show. But, I mean, it's very difficult.
Seth Rollins was at that show.
No, this wasn't that show.
That was the
next show.
That was the next one that I did not get to
no.
go to, unfortunately.
But no, this was at the Emerson Theater in May of 2016. I feel like I've told this story on the show before, but I'll tell it again. Basically, it was another circumstance of, I was forced to, crowd surf when I didn't want to. however, at the Emerson, there's no security. There's no barricade.
Ooh.
There's just a stage.
Ooh, the best.
And so Parkway Drive is notorious for just letting people come on stage and hang out, sing songs, whatever. Mm-hmm. They just love the fans.
Watch
they love
the documentaries.
The crowd. Yeah, yeah. Watch the DVD or Home Is for the Heartless.
Yeah, you'll see.
Great, great fucking band documentaries. Great fucking, yeah, just watch them. I can't recommend them more. And especially Home Is for the Heartless because it doesn't show the music side. It more shows like just the journey. And, you know, that's what they're about. They like touring around the world. And experience they take the time in each stop to experience where they're at.
Nice.
And I think that's really awesome because they are people of the world. They love the world and experiencing new things.
Good for them.
But back to my show.
Aussies.
So I'm seeing all these people crowd surfing and getting on stage and hanging out, and I'm like, that would be so awesome. And I thought this to myself. I didn't say it out loud. So my friend Nate and his friend Lindsay say, "Hey, I'm gonna throw you up." Oh, let me see if I can get his voice. "Hey, bro, I'm gonna throw you up." But it was more like a yell, and I was like, "No." And he's, "I'm gonna do it." He just picks me up and throws. And next thing I know, I'm crowd surfing to the stage, and I get on stage, and I'm just like, "Hell yeah, I'm up here on stage with Parkway Drive." But I didn't know what to do. So I'm not that kind of guy that's like going to take advantage of a moment like that. So I tried to, you know, I was like, okay, I've been on stage for a couple seconds. I'm going to jump back out in the crowd. The crowd was not having it, however, and they threw me back on stage.
Oh.
So I was like, oh. So
did
I
you
just,
stage dive?
Dude, I did.
I totally would. Oh, yes.
I did. I stage dived and failed. Because
oh, no.
The crowd caught me and threw me back on stage like, fuck
nope.
You. I was like,
like a rubber
guys.
Band.
I was like, guys, it's not supposed to happen. But so I just got back up, and instead of relishing in the moment, I just walked off stage to the side defeated. But however, I was not ready to go back out of the crowd, because Parkway Drive crowds are just absolutely nuts. Everybody's moving, everybody's moshing, jumping, running around.
Best experiences.
Sweet.
You could have.
And so I stayed on the side of the stage, and I was taking pictures, I was taking video, and it was great. It was great.
Great.
Yeah, and then that next Parkway Drive show, like I mentioned, that we did not realize, but the one in Chicago.
Seth Rollins
was there.
Dang.
WWE superstar.
It's like
Seth
me
Rollins.
Seeing Bam Margera at the Avenged Sevenfold. He was up in the VIP suite.
Nice.
And the crowd started chanting, "Bam, bam, bam, bam." And so he took off his shoe, licked the bottom of it, and he like vomited almost, and then threw the shoe out on the crowd. So that was Bam's antics.
There was a wouldn't be surprised to see Bam just jump from the balcony.
That's what we were expecting, I think. Not like Bring Me the Horizon's lead singer when I saw them at Warped Tour. The same Warped Tour I saw Katy Perry at. Bring Me the Horizon was on this, and then the next stage over, and the little dude climbed up to the top of the amps, like just so high up, and just jumped off the amps onto the crowd.
Katy Perry was at Warped Tour?
I saw Katy Perry before she was cool.
Before she was Katy Perry?
Uh-huh.
Back when she would like, what? Did you know she's on a POD song?
What?
Yeah.
I wonder if she's saying that one.
Huh?
I wonder if she's saying that one.
Youth of a Nation?
No. No, it's a...
She one of the children chanting, "We are..." Yeah.
Maybe.
No, it's the song. And you know, it's crazy. So I had always loved this song. And and when I found out... Okay, so I saw this article. Katy Perry and POD song. Like,
what?
Like, oh, this is
a mash.
And
then there's a video of them doing it live. And then as soon as I saw the title of the song, I was like, no fucking way. That song? It's Goodbye For Now, if you know that song.
Mm-mm.
Excellent song. And then I listened to the song, or I watched the live video, and I hear it, and I go listen to the studio version. I'm like, holy shit, that is Katy Perry.
Wow. I will have to check that out.
It was back when she was Katy, whatever the fuck her real last name is. No, she used to be like a Christian singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
times have changed in that one.
That's why she wrote "I Kissed a Girl." It was basically kind of rebelling against her upbringing.
No,
she very much loves her parents.
She had a whole documentary on Netflix, and I watched that years ago, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I recently watched the Lady Gaga documentary, and that's also really good.
That's like Pheasant Run days. Didn't we like always?
Yeah, that was 1905 when I watched the.
But did we not like literally just use Netflix almost for a lot of the time to just watch documentaries?
Yeah.
We were just like,
yeah,
let's look around. We just like watched every documentary we could find.
The most recent documentary, there's two documentaries involving music that I really want to check out. Actually, now there's three. There's one for the Foo Fighters.
Mm.
That's the most recent one I found.
That's
I have yet to watch that. There's the Tom Petty one, which is 4 hours long.
Holy.
Yeah,
Green
and then
Mile,
there's a Lemmy documentary.
Ooh, that'll all be good.
I want to see them all.
You gotta do Lemmy's voice now.
Fucking last documentary I watched, I think, was Parkway Drives.
Oh my god, which one? Home Is for the Heartless or the DVD?
Home for the Heartless.
Okay.
I think mine
although
was
I did
avenged.
Watch some WWE documentaries for some. I was like watching like Mick Foley's and.
Well, because you got Matt's subscription to the WWE network.
No, Matt canceled his subscription.
Aww. Oh.
My last documentary, I really think, was The Avenged One, where they're like chasing the ducks around and everything. He's not afraid at all.
He's not afraid of a fucking duck.
Oh my God.
The Rev.
The fucking, the quote that we all, that always gets brought up at some point while we're all hanging out is the Corey Taylor from, I can't remember which one. It was either from Disaster Pieces or Inside the Nine.
I think it might have been Disaster.
He's looking at like a mold of his face or his head for his, that has like his mask on it and all that. And it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, look at the size of that fucking neck. Because Corey Taylor has like an immensely large neck.
Gives the old corpse grinder.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, corpse grinder, pencil neck Fisher. Jesus fucking Christ.
Gives him a run for his money on his neck.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Man, that was a huge tangent. We were talking about Trivium, then Five Finger Death Punch, and that all got crazy.
Well, that's just how many stories that we have.
Oh, yeah.
Going definitely. To concerts
that's
together.
Not even.
That's not. That's the tip of the iceberg. Going back, before we get to Trivium, going back to what I was saying about Five Finger Death Punch. Yeah, I'm pretty jaded on them, but like I've read a lot of shit about how like their struggle with their now former label, and mm-hmm. it kind of, things start kind of making sense as I feel like maybe they were just producing music just to produce it and putting no real thought into it just to
get
just,
off of that label
just to fulfill their required album quota. Mm-hmm. And because Got Your Sick, which their label was trying to sue them for that. They were trying to sue them for because they thought they weren't producing quality,
America.
Like up to snuff albums just to get off the label. And so Five Finger Death Punch won their lawsuit.
Yay.
And to get off the label, they are now putting out a greatest hits album. So cool. We get a rehash of Five Finger Death Punch songs. Hopefully good ones and nothing off Got Your Six. But there will be. I know there will be. There was like a couple songs that weren't too bad on that album.
Well, hopefully they picked those then.
I liked, what was it, Jekyll and Hyde?
I don't like even think I listened to that album.
That was the first song. Like, it grew on me eventually, and I was like, okay, this is neat. This is neat.
Neat.
It's not my favorite, obviously, but no, it grew on me eventually. But overall, the album just did not.
I remember Dad always giving us so much grief about listening to Five Finger Death Punch because he's like, are you listening to the lyrics?
Dad gave us grief for everything because he also banned System of a Down. Mesmerized from being played in our house because he heard violent pornography played.
I remember that.
But it's and a violent whole pornography. Choking chicks and sodomy.
Yep.
Which is where I got my nickname from for a while.
Scotomy.
Scotomy.
This podcast is getting scotomized. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, no, you hear the lyrics and I was just playing them on the old computer up there, and he kind of just stormed up and was just like, what the hell are you listening to?
He did the same thing to me for Five Finger. I think it was The Bleeding, I think. Is that when Ivan talks about father and mother?
No, that's Remember Everything.
Yeah, no, but that album definitely wasn't out. It was definitely War is the Answer. It might have been White Knuckles. I'm Taking Back Control.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's probably anything that involved swearing. If you heard a swear word in any kind of song, he was instantly about to ban that album from being played in the house. So. Therefore, that's why we grow up on REO Speedwagon and Poison and
NSYNC and Backstreet
and
Boys.
NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Because that wasn't dirty at all.
Nope. Money.
Yep.
Man. All right, so let's talk about this Trivium album, Send in a Sentence.
Yes.
Can we please? God damn.
I think I was definitely hooked, obviously, when the Send in a Sentence dropped. And when it came out, I was just like, oh, my God.
So.
Because I had heard about it. Because people were
Because
people, like, in the comments, they were all like, I just kept on hearing orgasm, like, just that, like, kind of, like, comment on it, like, consistently. And I was like, wow, like, this must be really, really good. So I gave my own listen, and I was like, hot damn. Like, it's pretty much combining everything that Trivium I feel like does really well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now that, you know, Heffy is, you know, able to sing, you know, so adequately, you know, I feel like that his singing voice has improved.
You know, I've never
so
thought
much.
He was a bad singer.
I never thought he was either.
And, you know, I always enjoyed his voice. I always enjoyed
his
singing.
And like he said, in like the one interview or whatever, he's like, I screamed. He's like, I screamed because I couldn't sing.
It's like, fuck you, dude. You can sing. You're,
yeah,
it,
right?
It's not about singing. I mean,
and
okay.
So now he can actually sing. So he's like, oh, I'm going to sing.
I hate that everybody has this view of singing perfectly because like, that's
the
where
voice.
The voice, your own voice, your own voice, I think, is way better than singing up to snuff, I guess, because you get
everybody
that's where you get
has
uniqueness,
a different expression,
and you know when you're trying to sing, like perfect technique and all that, you lose a lot of. I feel like you lose a lot of what makes your voice your voice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot
I feel
of that
like
rock
music
voice.
Is all about who you are.
And
it's
Heffy
like...
definitely has a recognizable voice.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, not to say like all his improvement in singing has really done. It's not bad. I love it. I love hearing him sing. It's just there's
when
you can hear
uh-huh.
Heffy, if you hear me and you're listening to this podcast, you will be singing at this show on Sunday.
There is
and
no reason to be sick
and tell us that you're sick, and we have to sing the whole entire concert for you again. I'm telling you now, and I'm warning you now. I'm going to yell at you. I'm going to flip you off, and I might not go back to another Trivium show. So
lies.
Do not disappoint me.
You know you cannot do that.
That's all lies.
Story time. So last
February
we saw Trivium.
Fort Wayne, Rusty Spur.
Lots of echoes going on right now. So who opened up? Do you remember who opened up for that show?
Some local band, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure the whole lineup was almost local bands, except for
except for
Trivium.
Didn't we get there like later-ish because of that?
Yeah,
I think we tried to.
So
two or three shows,
about
15,
20 minutes before Trivium comes out, here comes Matt Heffy. And everybody's cheering him. He's like, "Hey guys, I went to the doctor last night for an emergency,
mm-hmm.
and I've been told that I cannot sing tonight." So, that being said,
instant buzzkill.
Oh yeah, we're
totally.
He's like, "That being said, I don't want to let anyone down. The show must go on. We will be playing. I just can't sing." So we then continued to get a Trivium show with. Only screams from Corey and a little bit of singing from Paulo.
Yep.
Whiny.
While the crowd sang the majority of the songs.
Yeah,
which was cool
of,
itself.
Which
it
was, yeah.
It was really cool. Everybody was in time. Everybody was in sync with the band.
Woo.
You know, it was really a cool experience to see.
I don't want to repeat it, though.
Fans coming together, you know?
Yeah.
And singing the songs that they love.
But I don't pay to
no,
listen
you're right.
to the crowd.
You're completely right. Hopefully this Sunday we
that
don't have
VIP
a repeat experience.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, and I got VIP at after the show and went and got
Oh, and I had a client call me in crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Right
yeah.
before that show. Like, I called the cops on my daughter. What do I do? Oh, well, the cops are coming.
No, the Trivium show can't help right
We'll
now.
deal with it on Monday. Yep. So, but yeah. You had that VIP experience.
And we had
Blaine. We had you ask all the questions that we've always wanted to ask Heffy.
Yes.
Which included?
Becoming the dragon. Is this song about Magikarp evolving into Gyarados? And he proceeded to tell me, well, I get that a lot.
Which is why I took my poster to Louder Than Life later that year.
Yeah.
I put a poster together with Magikarp evolving into Gyarados and put it up for them to see in between each song that they sang. And I'm taking it with me on Sunday, too.
Yeah, he proceeded to tell me, he's like, yeah, I get that a lot. The song's about the koi fish transforming into the dragon once it reaches the top of the waterfall and reaching its full potential. It's an ancient, like, Japanese story.
So, Magikarp into Gyarados.
Yeah, it's Magikarp into Gyarados. I was like, that's exactly what I said. So, I was like, so it's Magikarp evolving into Gyarados. That's basically exactly what that is. And he's like, yeah, basically.
I'm fine with that answer, Heffy.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
He was like really calm. He didn't seem like he really wanted to talk, but it's whatever.
I feel like he probably does yoga.
Oh, probably. He's
or is BJJ.
Fucking Corey. However the hell you say his last name.
Bellaloo or whatever.
Yeah, however the fuck you say his last name. He was
really don't go by last names.
Him and the drummer were both really talkative. is now a former drummer.
Yep.
I'll say, which, what drummer was that?
I fucking don't know.
I don't know how many they've had now.
He was suggested to them by Dream Theater.
That's right.
Well, if it's not Alex Portnoy, then...
No. Yeah, he. I don't even think he was on the album. He wasn't even on Silence in the Snow.
Was it not the drummer who did the drums for In Waves?
No, it was not Nick
Augusto. It was in between Nick and Alex.
Yeah.
I don't remember
that
him
poor
either.
Soul. Nobody remembers him.
No. Yeah, I think
that's
he was just a tour
when you
at
fucking
the time.
Shift drummers every goddamn yeah. album.
Mm-hmm. I think he was just a touring drummer at that time.
I'm pretty sure I have that dude's autograph.
Probably.
Because I bought the album at Louder Than Life to get the access to get the autographs to call them out on their BS for not playing mm-hmm. Becoming the Dragon. And Heffy didn't even really acknowledge me or my poster. He just signed my CD and sent me on my way. But Corey appreciated it.
Corey's always very talkative, it seems like.
Yeah.
He's very appreciative of fans. I mean, not saying Matt isn't.
No, me neither.
Because Matt's very heavy on the social media presence, and he's always retweeting.
Yes, he is.
Reposting.
No, he's all about
fans. He unfollowed me, though.
Aww.
I would just like to point that out. He unfollowed everybody because he kind of restarted his Twitter account.
Oh, yeah.
With all of the bots that were following him. So now I got to figure out how I'm going to get him to follow me again.
So, yeah, I don't use Twitter, but... I had him reply to one of my comments on Facebook the other day.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Yeah. You sent me that. You sent me that.
Screenshot.
But yeah, he was talking about some article claimed that he was like loaded, and he's like, this is what happens when people don't do their research and post fake news. Alternative facts.
Is that when you commented and said that his royalty was like 81 cents or something?
Yeah, because back when In Waves came out, shortly after, he posted a picture of the first royalty check, and it was like 98 cents. And I was like, that's crazy. That's fucking crazy. Yeah. But he went on to someone else replied and said, I'm pretty sure that was just from Spotify, which makes sense. And which he replied to that person within my comment saying it wasn't Spotify. It was just a small check from a small scale of time after the album dropped. So he's like, so it just didn't, it was small, but it didn't reflect like
the actual,
yeah.
Huh. Well, that's cool.
I mean, at the end of the day, you have to split like money from album sales through, because basically the way I think I had it explained to me was basically a label loans you money to, and you pay them back. And so the album sales mostly go back to the label.
Right.
So, no wonder they always say buy merch at the shows.
Yes, because that is all them.
Huh.
Merch.
Well, see, I don't feel so bad now. I download all of the music, but I buy a shirt at every show I go to.
But if you buy an album from their merch,
mm-hmm.
that goes to them.
Oh, even better, because I did that at Louder Than Life.
I love to buy merchandise.
You're welcome,
but they don't
Trivium.
Sponsor 3XL anymore. And I also don't want to pay $100 for a hoodie. It's a little,
yeah.
It's a little above there.
Grasping at straws.
I don't mind supporting, obviously, the bands and everything. Like, I mean, yeah, we have plenty of band shirts and hoodies
and
accessories and everything. Like, we do our part, but, you know, like $100 hoodies
financial crises.
It's a little pricey at times. So,
but yeah, once again, we haven't talked about the album. We
have so many memories.
Tangent catastrophe.
Yes.
So basically, all right. So set in the sentence. So, like I said, when I heard the title track, I was instantly hooked. I'm pretty sure I texted you, or like sent you a link to it. Probably Amanda too. And I'm like, you need to check this out.
Yeah.
Like, right now. And then, Hard on Your Hate came out second. And initially, I was not crazy about the song.
I love it.
Yeah.
Was I didn't
not
listen
crazy
to it.
About it.
I didn't listen to it at the time. Okay, mm-hmm. So I listened to the title track, the first single that dropped, and I was like, okay, this is cool. I can definitely hear what they were talking about in terms of what they were wanting to do with that, because I read some interviews on what they were wanting to do with this album, that what it sounds like and all that, and then I heard that. And I was like, okay, I can hear that. I can hear where they're coming from there. Mm-hmm. And then they released another single and another single, and I didn't listen to those. I wanted to go in blind. I wanted to go in fresh.
Yeah, because I remember I told you about the last single that dropped, Through the Fire.
Yeah. Which
and
if there is a least favorite song on the album, that's probably it.
And the worst part about it is, like, it's a still a decent song.
Yeah, exactly. I like, by least favorite, I mean, it's just whatever to me. It's not that it's a bad song. It's not that I don't like the song. It's just, I like others way more. It's an album
that's loaded with very, very good songs.
Oh, yeah.
And it just happens to be on the bottom end.
I would have to say my favorite song is Endless Night. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Endless Night. I really like the Revanchist. The Revanchist or whatever, how you pronounce that. That literate, but I really, really enjoy that song. You know, Beyond Oblivion.
Oh, yeah. Beyond Oblivion, Otherworld.
Like, took me a little while, too, but, like, that riff, though. Like, when, like, right before, like, the, I believe it's the solos. It's, like, in the break in between the singing.
You know what's crazy is, like, for... right now, like, I haven't really put too much focus onto the music. I'm almost solely focused on Heffy's vocals and lyrics.
The vocals and lyrics.
Which is typically what I tend to do. But, like, I've really enjoyed all of that. And maybe eventually I'll start paying attention to what's going on in the background. I mean, like, obviously I hear it, but...
Yeah, but... Yeah, and you being a vocalist, you know, that's obviously very much understated where...
I typically focus on the vocals, lyrics, and guitar. But right now, like, I'm just hearing all that, and that's what's kicking my ass.
That's
right
funny now. That you say that, because whenever we go to shows, I always see Scott watching the drummer.
Yeah,
and
of
he
course.
Used to drum, so
yeah,
he just watches
much,
the drummers.
Very much involved in, like, the music, the instrumental side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Always listen to that stuff, like...
I don't know where I would fall. I mean, I was in band, but I wasn't like a band, high school band here. So I go for all aspects, I suppose.
And when we say drummer, like, by no means do I have any professional experience, but I am a very, very solid rock band drummer.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I can throw it down if needed.
Yeah, even with the pro kit.
Oh, yeah.
Give me that double bass.
Yeah, I would say my favorite songs are probably the title track, mm-hmm. Endless Night, Otherworld.
Betrayer.
Oh, my God. Sever the Hand.
Sever the Hand is pretty fucking heavy.
Yeah.
Like,
the Heart From Your Hate, right?
Yeah.
Hate from
that's
your
heart. Heart From Your Hate.
Like, I love this entire goddamn album.
Woo!
Heart On Your Hate really grew on me a lot. That one, but I think probably my favorite song would probably have to still be Send the Sentence.
Yeah. It's
that's the one I've listened to the most so far.
The chorus is just so goddamn catchy, mm-hmm. and it takes you back to Ascendancy.
Yes.
But, I feel like they've mixed every album
all
into this
one. There's a little bit of everything.
I hear Crusade. I hear a little Shogun. I hear, like, Summon Waves, you know, I kind of mm-hmm. obviously the Silent Snow with the vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they literally mixed everything all into one. And I think that's why I love it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Good job, Trivium.
5 out of 5. 5 out of 7.
You nailed it.
7.
5 out of 7. Perfect album.
Do approve.
Honestly, like, I cannot say a bad thing about this album.
Except that it didn't come out sooner.
Yeah. Except that...
But you can't rush perfection.
Except that we had Vengeance Falls before this.
Like, I kind of like you. We've talked about Vengeance Falls. You know, I enjoy Vengeance Falls. You know, is it not the best album? No, of course not.
I enjoy, like, select songs.
But yeah, like, Strife. I mean, Strife, I think, is a very good song. Villainy Thrives. You know, it's a pretty decent song.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, is it an album that I think I can listen to from, like, front to back?
No.
No. Send the Sins? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly. That's how I always judge an album is, do I skip songs?
Yeah.
Speaking of, like, that front to back, I made a status about Blaine to you about this Double Driver Last Kind Words. Like,
oh, yeah, we were listening to that on the way to Columbus the other day.
We went to Columbus this past Tuesday.
Because we passed the Jeep that had the...
had a Jeep that just magically appeared in front of us that on the tire cover it said...
Not All Who Wander Are Lost.
Not All Who Wander Who Are Lost.
I remember I got that snap.
And I looked at Amanda and I was like, we need to fucking play Double Driver right now.
And then it was just like flashbacks of
and then
awesomeness
we listened
the whole time.
From the album front to back and both were just like...
I mean, I hadn't listened to that album in ages, and every song that came on, I was like, oh my God, this song is awesome.
I still remember the lyrics, I still remember the beats, I still remember... seeing them in Illinois, like
now that I'm thinking about it, my journey into metal vocals started at your house. I mean, I had always wanted to do like harsher vocals, and, but I discovered that I could really actually scream while playing Rock Band with you guys.
Oh, yeah. Rock
Band. It was because
our house was like the Rock Band hub of Delphi.
But I remember three songs where I learned that I could do this. The first one, Are You Dead Yet? By Children of Bodom.
Ooh.
Solid.
Second one, speaking of The Last Kind Words by Devil Driver, Clouds Over California.
Great song.
And then, of course, Five Finger Death Punch, Burn It Down.
Yep.
Burn It Down.
Where the first time I took it seriously, and then the next time, couple times, I realized for the screaming parts of the songs, they don't really count. They don't get scored or anything. They're just there. They're basically taking a spoken word. There's no pitch level.
Do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, just do however you want. So like
freestyle.
Of course, like I was just like, fuck it. I burn it down. I can't remember the rest of the lyrics, but
that's pretty much it.
But then there's the
Everybody knows I burn it down.
And then we started singing like that at Five Finger Shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. But yeah, that's...
Rock Band introduced us to The Haunted.
Oh, yeah, The Haunted.
DOA.
D-O-A. I remember the first time I sang that. The first time I ever heard that song, you just picked it, and I was like, oh, fuck.
I'll enjoy this song.
I was like, yeah, I don't know this fucking song, so I was just trying to sing it.
We did enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, now I fucking love that song. I love that band, which has former members of At the Gate. Not former members, but members of At the Gates.
Which was another song. that we enjoyed very much.
Slaughter of the Soul. Oh, yeah.
Whatever, yeah.
Slaughter of the Soul. Good times. But yeah, that was where I discovered that I could scream, and so from there I practiced it a little bit more and a little bit more, and
that's
eventually...
also, I think that's where like our like infatuation with like guitars really kind of grew up too.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I had already had I think we both had guitars
because you
point.
had
I got my Razorback
because you got the Razorback, and then I had some shitty ass Dean Vendetta
and then
I bought off of Amazon for $100,
and then I got my old Washburn.
You got the Washburn, but then I got the Jackson.
Yeah, your Jackson Warrior.
I wanted the model of Sinister's
Amanda
guitar at that time.
The Sinister Gates.
Probably a good thing Schecter. I never ended up with that.
He's kind of gone downhill.
Yeah.
I just got the little model instead that I took a scale picture of to make it look like it
was
the real thing.
Holy shit! You got his guitar, and then it's like it zooms out. And
it's like the size of my hand.
It's like a fucking amiibo.
Speaking of amiibo, we went hunting on Saturday, and that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see this. With the launch of Super Mario Odyssey.
I swore that I was done with the amiibo game. If you are not aware of the amiibo game and the hunting game, it's a nightmare trying to find these stupid little things from Nintendo, because Nintendo purposely makes the stock small so that scalpers can snatch them up and then drive the cost up. Mm-hmm. And so I finally collected all of the Smash line, and I was done because I just can't invest any more time and money into those things. And then Super Mario Odyssey came out, and they had three more amiibo. And then there's a three pack that came out. It came out with Bowser, Peach, and Mario in it, which are the three that you need for Odyssey. And so Scott and I went over to Columbus. Kokomo.
The old Kokomo.
On Saturday to see our good old friend Dan.
Old Danny
and
boy.
And we decided to go amiibo hunting because we all had Odyssey out and we're all playing it. It's a great game.
So
it's
like
perfection.
On the floor, just like browsing Meijer and Target and Best Buy's website, like trying to find them. And I just happened to see on GameStop, it's like, or Target, or I don't know. I think it was just GameStop on it.
Yeah.
It was Markland Mall
in
Kokomo. I was like, hey, Markland Mall in Kokomo has, pretty sure it was
Bowser.
And Mario, because Peach was just like gone at this point.
Yep, and so
we're just like,
let's go.
Let's go drive around Kokomo for 4 hours.
Yeah, looking for these
looking
amiibo.
Looking for amiibo. Yeah. So
I ended up getting Meijer with the clutch.
Meijer was clutch. Target provided us the initial.
Yeah.
I saw you guys one of you posted about it on Facebook.
I did, yeah.
And I saw in the location it said Kokomo. I was like, what the fuck are they doing?
Apparently Kokomo is like a gold mine for finding hard-to-find Nintendo products.
Because SNES Classics, Super Nintendo Classics, really hard to
just
find.
Just go to Kokomo.
Presumably, Kokomo just has a shit ton of them. Granted,
they had a whole stack of Switches in Best Buy.
Yeah, they've got like 45 Switches, and everybody around here cannot find one for the life of them.
Uh-huh.
Braden Stone, if you are listening, go to Kokomo for your finds.
Do it.
And now we return to your...
I don't know.
Podcastrophy.
I mean, that was about it. We found, we ended up at Meijer, and we go back to the electronics section, and there's one Peach amiibo left on the shelf. And we just, were like,
and it was very scarce. Very scarce amiibo selection.
The amiibo stock is kind of petering out in retail stores because the hype has definitely died off of them. But they're still, like, when you want one, you can't just walk into a store and get it. Like, it's ridiculous.
Want the amiibo. Nope, yeah. We don't got it.
We had to drive to four different stores.
So, yeah, we started at Target, which was connected to the mall. So then we just walked directly into the mall.
And nothing at GameStop.
Nothing at the GameStop there. Then drove to Meijer, which came up clutch for us. But, I mean, otherwise it was... Initially, we were a little worried. Thought we were going
the elusive Peach.
The old Peach. She was quite the find, but I mean, Target. I said provided the first two right off the get go. Provided some good buys in terms of Halloween clearance. That was solid.
Hell yeah!
Got more decorations for that.
Sure did for like
$3
bucks.
Another fantastic game for us to play on our party nights. What do you meme?
Oh, what do you meme?
Man. I can't wait to play that with you guys.
What do you meme?
It was a lot of fun.
Very much so. If you do not know what do you meme is, it's basically Cards Against Humanity. Very similar concept where a judge simply just plays a meme. There's a stack of very large picture cards that are all memes.
Yep.
For some of them are very much recognizable. Like some of them, like you might not have seen before. But
I don't know. Blaine probably have seen all of them.
What's up? Sorry.
All the memes.
I can see you being very much involved in the meme world.
I'm meme lord over here. Yeah, one could say I am a meme lord.
It's true. You would probably... I might have to pull them out.
I have two memes tattooed on me.
This is
for fuck's sake.
Dat boy.
Which is in there very frequently. We pulled a dat boy out probably a couple times. But basically, the whole concept of the game is you pull a judge, draws a meme card, and then all the other players have seven quotes or, you know, play cards in their hand that are all just...
Like that moment when you...
that moment when this happens or, you know, such and such, whatever. And you basically try to match what the meme is with the funniest card that you have in your hand that you think goes along with it the well to make the best meme. To make the best meme possible, you hand them to the judge, and then the judge basically reads them out loud to the group. Everybody laughs, everybody cries. If they, you know, might be offended or they might be, you know, a little bit too real at times.
Mine was pretty real.
Oh, shit.
It was pretty real.
Let's hear yours, please.
I'm going to try to describe the meme as best I can. It's the birthday dog, where the curly-haired dog with the party hat is sitting in front of his birthday cake, and he's just got this smug little grin on his face.
He's dead inside.
Yeah, he kind of looks like he's smiling but dead inside at the same time. And so I played my card that said, when you're at your ex's funeral and realize you took the breakup too far.
And we fucking died.
And I was like, oh, that's the face I would make. No.
We just lost it.
I have a lot of fond memories, not that I can recount any of them, but like of playing Cards Against Humanity here with you and Austin and Nate and the rest of the crew.
Oh, God, yeah.
Nate Manis and Austin Welch, hopefully to be future guests on the Podcastrophy.
Austin's going to be coming back home.
So Austin, looking forward to having him on in a few weeks.
Nate, not so much.
Yeah.
He's abandoned us for...
They're both in different cities now?
Austin is currently living in New York.
Queens, right?
I think in that general vicinity.
Yeah.
And Nate is living around San Francisco.
Hmm. Okay.
Nate does not expect to come back until next summer.
Austin,
that's what he told me, bitch.
Yeah. Austin, I can't wait to have him on. He's what I refer to as my son. And he's a blast to talk to. He's got a very interesting life, especially right now, and I can't wait to have him
working for BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Oh, out in Queens, I can only imagine. I miss the city so much. I'll come visit Austin. I don't know you very well, but I'll come visit. I need to get my NYCFC fixed.
He's moving to California, I think, in January.
He's moving to LA.
Oh, yeah. Man.
He's going for the big time.
Killing it.
Props to you, buddy.
Yeah, no shit.
Kill
got
it,
out of Delphi. That's awesome.
Well, he's from Rossville.
Oh, got out of Rossville. Even greater accomplishment.
Yeah, give us some love. Bring some popularity to your fellow Midwestern brethren.
But we always played Cards Against Humanity here, and playing with Nate Maness is the best, because he sees a card, whether it's his card or not, he sells it. And he'll basically just like explain the card.
It becomes charades.
And it's absolute hilarity, and you never know what the fuck he's gonna say, and it's just hilarious.
Shout out to the Dudetus.
God,
one of my fondest memories. But yeah, we would definitely check out What Do You Meme if you enjoy Cards Against Humanity or Exploding Kittens.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
all those adult kind of dark humor games.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely a lot of dark humor.
Yep. Very vulgar. Do not play around your parents.
Nope.
Highly do not recommend doing so. They might require you to come to church and probably praise Mary several times.
Well, guys, I think I gotta be heading home.
Lame.
It's time.
Is it your bedtime?
No. Well, after a 5-day weekend, it's coming to a close.
My bedtime's really soon. I'm 30 now. Oh. So 9 p.m. Amanda's out.
9:30 hits. Time to hit the sack.
Yep.
Let's go.
I'll probably be asleep by 11. But no, my girlfriend is currently at my house making us dinner.
What a beautiful girl.
She is the best. She's the absolute best. And I got here late. We were supposed to start at 5. We didn't start until like 6.
Thanks,
and,
Andy.
Yeah. Thanks to my roommate who cleaned the house this weekend. Never does usually, but he decided to clean this weekend and hide my Zoom.
You did your best, my boy.
Hide my Zoom in the closet.
Good job.
So on the floor, covered up by a bunch of shit. So yeah. Thanks, Andy, for making
participation
me late
award. Gets a star.
Yeah, I freaked the fuck out. I was like, where the fuck is my Zoom?
Yeah, you walked
my
in
Zoom?
Pretty angrily.
Oh, yeah. I was like, where the fuck is my Zoom?
My wood steps felt the wrath.
The wrath of fury.
I couldn't find it, and I was freaking the fuck out. I was like, where the fuck is this? I just got this. There's no way I could have fucking lost it. Like, I just got this. That's money down the drain. Fuck. And so I was scouring my house. Meanwhile, I was like, can you guys come here? But you're like, we just ordered delivery.
We just had food coming our way. Like,
I was like, okay, well, I'm going to figure it out. So like, I got, I actually ripped it out. I found one of my old interfaces that's fairly mobile. My other interface, which I was using for mobile, is currently at the Doom Room. So I could let Nick use it for his podcast, Brews with Dudes. Check it out.
Nice.
But
nice.
Which he's not even using it. He's gonna. He said he ordered his own Zoom H6 handy recorder. Lucky him. It's very awesome. It's very easy to use. It's what Brandon uses for Journey into Comics and all the other podcasts he's on. But so like I ripped out that other interface, and I was just gonna bring it here, install all the drivers and shit that I needed to on my laptop, and then we were gonna go from there. But then I was like, I'm gonna check that closet one more time. And sure enough, it was there.
Ta-da.
So, like, I checked my car, checked all over the house, everywhere that I possibly could, and I couldn't find it, and it was just in the closet.
Well, I'm glad you found it.
Yeah. So, I'd like to thank you guys so much for joining me.
No problem.
Thanks for letting us on. Mm-hmm. I know, you said, it's been a time coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it'll be easier from this point on.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully this is... part of me wondered if, like, you would just be like, I can't do it today because you're like afraid to be on it or something. But because sometimes people are like that, but once they get a taste of it, they're like, okay, that wasn't that bad, and that was actually a lot of fun.
No,
it's just conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
No,
and you guys did so well today. I thank you for being phenomenal guest.
You're welcome.
You know me, I'm open. I'm just
hell yeah.
I'm just a fun guy to be around.
Once again, thank
you
guys.
We'll all be together on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Going to Trivium. Let's
Can't
do
wait.
It, boys.
Put the horns up.
Thank you guys once again for being on. That being said, you can check out, if you're not already subscribed, please subscribe to Journey into Comics on Stitcher Radio, Podbean, Google Play, iTunes. You can check them out. Check us out on Facebook at the Journey Into Comics dot or facebook.com/Journey Into Comics, journeyintocomics.com. If you want, we have a Patreon where you can throw $1 to get early access, or throw us $3 and you get early access and bonus content. And, you,
and who doesn't love bonus content?
Yeah, right. Mm. It's just $3 for that. If not, just one, and then you get access to every episode as soon as they're ready. So it's very worth it if you're very into us. You can support us, help us grow. It's great. If not, oh well, you still get all of this for free on all the other stuff, just in a different time frame. But so yeah, if you subscribe to Journey Into Comics, you get the Journey Into Comics podcast. You get Journey Into Wrestling, Foodies Watching Movies, The Poor Report, Brews with Dudes, our new podcast. You get the Butt Stuff podcast. You get my podcast, Podcastrophy. So, and if I'm missing anything, I'm sorry. But you can find me. You could, yeah, I'm only human. You can find me on facebook.com/podcastrophy. You can find me on Instagram at Podcastrophy Podcast. Same thing with Twitter, Podcastrophy Podcast. I don't use it as much, but if you tweet at me, I'll know and I'll get back to you. You can tweet at me things that you want to see talked about on a podcast. I can answer questions on the podcast. There's no limit to what I'll do. And no question is off limits. Feel free to ask. But if that's all, I am Dick.
I'm Scottomy.
And this is Amanda.
And I would like to I would like all of you to make every day a big dick day. Big Dick Day!